Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Ross, and I want to welcome you to Spiritual Connections Radio. We're really excited that we're starting a new Monday show. It's going to run every Monday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of the show, you can go back and get it in the archives. And the new show is called the Animal Mystic Radio Show with Heather Tobin. And we're really excited to have her on. She is from Massachusetts. She does a lot of work with animals, shelters, and has all her skills in animal intuition. And we like to call her the Animal Mystic. And that's, of course, the radio show. And it's going to focus on animals, pets, spirit animals, totems, nature, and shamanism. So as always, Heather's going to be looking to take your calls today to see if you have any questions. And to do that, you're going to call 646-716-9663. And with that, I'm going to introduce Heather. Heather, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much, Mark. And hello to everyone, both human and whatever beings you are, animal. It's wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic to be here. And, you know, I always wanted to do a program about animals surrounding, you know, either the mystical animals or the animals that are in our lives every day, which, as we know as animal lovers, are mystical in their own right. And I'm delighted to be here. This show is going to be this wonderful potpourri compendium of all different things coming together, using my experience in shamanism, also as someone who just adores animals and has volunteered at shelters for many years, and also through animal communication and animal intuition, all of these things. So it's just going to be this great show with great guests coming up. Today I just wanted to start, actually, you know, I wanted to say a little blessing for everyone out there and their animals. I love, this is one of the things that I found online. It was actually this, I'll use multi-dimensional, all different, you know, it doesn't matter whatever religion or spiritual bent you have. This one is really beautiful. This is about the archangels. It's an archangel blessing for your pets. Pets, animal companions, send it across the whole animal universe. And so here it is. Please set the guiding light of Uriel before our light and put it in his way. Please set Michael to the right and aid and protect her. Please set Gabriel to the left for clarity and aid him or her in her every days. Please set Raphael behind her to keep her strong, healthy, or well, and so it is. And so that's for all of your animal pets out there. So with that, I just want to wish you all health and well-being for you and your pets. And again, incredible gratitude for being here tonight. I am so thrilled to be on this program, and thank you, Mark. I wanted to start tonight's topic. I'm going to be having topics in different topics. Tonight, I wanted to start with an often misunderstood and absolutely uber magical kind of dog, the pit bull. The pit bull. Why did I want to bring it up? I'll tell you why. Pit bull sort of came to me as a power animal recently, and I was just taken by the power and raw beauty of pit bull, because in our culture, since the 1980s, actually, I did some research, the pit bull has greatly been maligned and misunderstood, and there's a lot of misinformation about pit bulls. I will tell you, everyone, there isn't a pit bull I've met that I haven't loved. Big, sweet babies. Absolutely love them. And, you know, I think in this program, The Animal Mystic, I want to touch on some very, you know, earthly matters of, you know, this the strife of, you know, an animal like a pit bull, but also upon the spiritual aspect. And in the second half of the program, you can call in with your questions for animal readings. And I wanted to start first, though, tonight. We're talking about pit bulls. What are pit bulls? First of all, I'm going to tell you about some of the misconceptions about pit bulls. Pit bull is not actually a breed. It's not a breed. It's a generic term to describe usually three different breeds, you know, with traits and characteristics of what you would think of a pit bull, which is a very strong, muscular, extremely athletic dog. But there are three different, it's really sort of agreed that it's really three different breeds that sort of make up what the generic pit bull is called. There's the American Pit Bull Terrier, which is, you know, what we see here in America, the American Staffordshire Terrier. That's the other one. They call them Staffies. And then more in England, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier. So they all sort of encompass, you know, similar traits and characteristics. Very strong looking, anywhere from 30 to 100 pounds, a very, you know, often depicted as this foreboding and you know, intimidating creature, which is very unfortunate. The name pit bull came from the 1800s, where very sadly, these animals used to be bred to fight in pits against against other dogs, actually against bulls themselves and rats. And so that's where the name pit bull actually originated. And the thing is, there are a lot of misconceptions around that, you know, a pit bull is a vicious, horrible creature. And, you know, unfortunately, the media has not helped that. And why I want to bring it up is that they're so misunderstood, and there just hasn't been a pit bull I've met, like I said, that I have not adored. I have so many friends that have had exquisite animals for pets that are pit bulls. And so I really wanted, as a debut show, to sort of come in like a pit bull with strength and courage and vitality. These are all incredibly positive traits of the pit bull, and really sort of discuss pit bulls in general, and I want to talk about some of the misconceptions. One of them is pit bulls have locking jaws. You know, it's this belief that they have the greatest bite pressure of any dog. That's actually not true. Actually, German Shepherds and Rottweilers are much stronger. So, you know, that's one misconception that I want to deter people from thinking. The second is that pit bulls turn on their owners. No, 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 no. As we know, good people out there, you loving animal, loving people, we know that be it any animal, that the love that we bring to animals, the love and the caring and the responsibility as stewards of these beautiful souls, that really makes all the difference. And that in a stable, loving environment, animals thrive. They really do. And so this whole idea that they, you know, pit bull would turn on an owner, it's not. It's often due to irresponsible ownership and neglect that any animal would turn. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Another misconception widely believed is that, you know, it's in the pit bull's blood to fight. The reality is yes, as I said before. Pit bulls have been bred historically and more contemporarily to fight. You know, yes, aggression can be a trait, but also the reality is this. Pit bulls are also bred to be handled so well with people. They're protective. They used to be called nanny dogs way back when, because they were so good and are so good around young children. In fact, it's often believed that pit bulls really, you know, they really light up around young kids. And I know I've seen it. I had I call her my furry niece. I had a beautiful pit bull niece named Jasmine who basically raised my two nieces and nephew. You know, their parents had Jasmine. And she was the sweetest thing on the planet. She wouldn't hurt a flea. She was protective. She was loving. She was gentle. And, oh, my goodness, what an absolutely beautiful, beautiful dog. That's another misconception. I mean, it's just important because with Pitbull coming through as this power animal for me lately, I was sort of surprised. Normally I think of wild animals, but the reality is with power animals in the spiritual realm, they can come forth as domestic breeds or types of animals too, often the animals that we find every day in our lives. You know, they could be hamsters, rabbits, gerbils, it doesn't matter. You know, if they appear to us, again, domestic, wild, it doesn't matter. Animals are here to teach us lessons in this world and in the next. And so, you know, with Pitbull, what I got such a strong sense of loyalty and love and, oh, I'm so misunderstood. You know, that's the other thing, too. This sort of incredible gentle energy that, you know, that whole notion gets swept under the rug because these unfortunate myths pervade our society. You know, and I think, you know, another thing too, it's important to realize with every animal, just like with individuals, you know, we are individuals. We have different genes. We have different traits and temperaments. And so it's important not to, you know, have a prejudice against any type, whether it's person, place, or thing. It's very important that we, you know, really embrace the individual. And that really goes for pit bulls, too. And again, I've been hearing such an outpouring since I announced the program about pit bulls. You've sent me your pictures of them, and please continue to do so. Oh, my goodness. Please continue to do so. And feel free to email me your pictures of pit bulls, mysticalheather@gmail.com, because I just would love to, you know, I love hearing the stories of some of you who have rescued these absolutely exquisite creatures from incredible harm and injury. And even some of you had only short time with pit bulls grew to have an incredible everlasting bond with them. The stories have touched my heart, and that's why I really wanted to touch upon this as well. And, you know, really put out there that pit bulls are amazing. I want to bring up another misconception, that pit bulls make good guard dogs. Here's the deal, everyone. You know, I think like any working athletic dog that can potentially be used as a guard dog, yes, a pit bull could, but no more than another dog that is known, you know, for strength and intelligence and athleticism. You know, it's often, unfortunately, the pit bulls have really been pitted against because of this notion that they're, you know, they're guarding and they're ferocious, and sometimes, you know, people have spiked collars on them, and with the cropped ears, they can look very intimidating. But we have to remember, too, that, you know, this is the human conditioning of the pit bull to make them like this. And again, you know, it's important to realize that pit bulls, very important to realize, they were, quote, the nanny dog. There are all these wonderful old photographs I found of pit bulls with young children at the turn of the century. And they're known as well, you know, in spirit as well as in the flesh, loyal, reliable, loving, and aiming to please, and just very happy and kind. And, you know, just as, you know, it's very important to realize that. Another thing, too, for 150 years in the United States, that were the symbol and mascot, you know, for America's military for 150 years. In fact, here is the trivia question, which later on, maybe you can call in if you know the answer, because I will give you, this is another perk, I will give you a reward of a beautiful lavender sachet that is wonderful. I will mail it to you. It's a gift. It's a prize. If you can name the name of the most decorated dog in military history who was a pit bull and actually became a sergeant, this is very cool. So during World War I, this dog, who was born, I believe, in 1917 and died in 1926, was the most decorated dog in military history in the United States. Okay, guys, if you can name who it was, it's okay if you Google it. The first one to come up with it when you call later on wins the prize of a beautiful lavender sachet from Provence. So that's one of the things I'd like to throw out there, and I'll do a lot of fun things. One thing I want on a very positive note also is every week I'm going to be featuring a shelter or a sanctuary that does so much for animals. And this week I had to, because of their incredible program that they do for pit bulls, which is incredible, is the Friends of the Manchester Animal Shelter in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's up by where I live, but I'll be featuring shelters from all over the world. But tonight it is that, because they have this incredible thing called the Pit Fix Program. They have to date neutered and spayed over 400 pit bulls in the area, 400 pit bulls, which they have taken under their wing, neutered and spayed, and then helped to socialize and, you know, test for all different diseases, treat and help. They have saved countless pit bulls who have found loving homes and are gentle, dear creatures. And this program is just amazing. It's been going on for 4 years. I do recommend you check out the website, manchesteranimalshelter.org. For any of you out there in different parts of the world or different parts of the country, it really is a program that would be so wonderful if other places in the country could model after this amazing program that really not only helps to neuter and spay pit bulls, but it helps to really communicate to the public how loving and amazing these animals are. And I have met and worked with the delightful people at the Manchester Animal Shelter, and I've seen the result of love that pours out with these pit bulls. Oh, my God, it's just amazing. It's amazing. It brings tears to my eyes because, you know, here are these animals that a lot of them abandoned, neglected, left to die, mistreated, abused. And it's amazing what love and caring can do. It has turned around their lives. And by neutering and spaying, you obviously, you know, stop, you know, this terrible overpopulation of animals that we have in this country anyway, and that often can lead to animals being destroyed and euthanized. It's so sad. And it's also proven, too, that if you neuter your animals, they're less likely, especially a male dog, any breed, a male dog is less likely to attack or bite if it is altered. And I mean, obviously, if you have an unaltered dog that you love and take care of, then obviously the bite risk is you know, not there like it would be. But again, most bites occur, this is another statistic, it's important, most bites from dogs occur from unaltered males. You know, so that's, you know, neutering and spaying, I'm all for that, keeping populations down and finding homes for all different creatures, great and small, and tonight just featuring pit bulls. So I really want to kudos and really hats off to the Manchester Animal Shelter. Check it out, manchesteranimalshelter.org. where you can also find amazing pit bulls that can be adopted and just heartwarming stories of ones that already have been. Just love it. Really important to do. And another thing, so that's one of the things I wanted to, and I want to, again, the trivia question for tonight, and call in with your answer and then email me, mysticalheather@gmail.com, with your address if you win. I want you to tell me, what was the highest decorated military dog in history? World War I, we're looking for a pit bull. It's a male dog. I'm looking for that answer. And so that's what we're going to be doing in the second half of the show. As we come up on in 10 minutes on the half hour, I want to talk about the spiritual side of things a bit. And, you know, we spoke of power animals in general. Let me tell you all that we all have the innate ability to access our power animals. They are there. Different cultures across the world call them different things. Native cultures, totems, they're often called power animals, spirit guides, healers, protectors. Some of them are in angelic realms. Perhaps they've never been on earth with you. Others are like you. You know, sometimes they're called familiars, our spirit animals, who we've known and then who pass into spirit and forever are by our side, helping us as we are helping them. One of the other things I, you know, always touch upon and in learning through my journeys in shamanism is that I learned this a long time ago. I think I always knew, and I think so many of you out there can really understand. I've never felt that humans have dominion over animals. If anything, I feel that animals, in a way, are so much, at some point, in purest form, closer to the source and spirit, and that they teach us to return to it. They teach us to embrace nature. They teach us, you know, even for those of us out there who are carnivores and eat meat, they teach us gratitude, to thank, to say thanks for the meat that is given and the sacrifice that they make for us to live. And then for those that we love and take under our wing, excuse the animal pun, you'll get a lot of those on my show, but they teach us love. One person once asked me, or many people ask me, why is it when we love our animals so much, do they have to have lifespans that for the most part are much shorter than our own? You know, I've toyed with that too and been so troubled sometimes with, you know, the loss of our pets, even then knowing that they go into spirit and they're with us. And I believe it's for a very specific reason. I've always believed, I know that the animals I've had personally were such pure spirits of love that their time on earth is condensed in a lot of ways compared to ours. They have lessons to teach us. And I think one of the greatest ones is to teach us how to love as unconditionally as they love us. And to teach us how to let go, which is, of course, is the hardest thing. You know, we don't think about it when we get that puppy or kitten in the beginning of their lives, or even if we adopt an animal, you know, an older animal. You know, we never want to think about the inevitable, which is, you know, just like us, they will pass. It is the greatest gift that they teach us, that to embrace now in the power of now. And having lost two beautiful cats in spirit now in the last 6 months, it has been a huge lesson for me personally, a painful lesson. Oh, my goodness, a very painful lesson, but one that is so filled with beauty because it was in the letting go and in their incredible wisdom. One thing I learned, they're not afraid of dying. Perhaps it may be a lot of times we humans sometimes fear death. There's an understanding of the mystical that I think that they're here to teach us about. and I have never felt more blessed than to be present for the passing, though very difficult and not easy, but the passing of my two beloved kitty cats, Jack-Jack and Fletcher, who often on radio shows he would always be meowing. I miss him meowing. I always will, but maybe you'll hear my other kitties here meowing. But I do believe the lesson is incredible to teach us about love, to teach us about loss, and to teach us that, you know, with real love, ultimately there is no loss, that we return to the source, we return to spirit, and that they're with us. And I feel their presence daily, and I know that you do too. I can't wait to have many guests that I'll have on, communicators, veterinarians, healers, intuitives who will reach out and will take your calls, as I will as well, to really, you know, really, really impart to you that wisdom of animals on the spirit plane and here on earth, that they're with us to teach us, and they don't leave us. They never leave us, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful lesson. So, you know, second part, I really encourage you to call in for readings. Definitely call in, too, with your answer to the trivia question. But, you know, let me serve you and be of service through spirit. You know, if you have questions about, if you have specific questions about animal companions in your life, or, you know, if you are very interested in finding about, you know, if you have a question about an animal spirit guide, or maybe you are interested in knowing what yours is, we can tune in and we can identify who that spirit guide might be for you, that animal spirit guide, because we really all have them. We do, and, you know, in meditation, we're able to access them. So for those of you out there who already know, maybe you have other questions, but if it's animal-related, please, please feel free to call in, because I am just so delighted to be of service to you all with this. And I know we're coming up on the half an hour, so I'm going to turn it over to you, dear Mark Rawson, my fabulous producer, and take a break and give any announcements or any questions you may have.
Excellent. So I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and we're really excited because today is our Monday and the start of the Animal Mystic Radio Show with Heather Tobin. And she is going to be on every Monday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the first show tonight, so we're really excited about that. And it's such a great honor to have Heather on here. I had actually met Heather quite a few years ago. We did senior yeah, we did senior mediumship training together with John Holland up in Maine, and that's where I actually met Heather for the first time. And it, we've actually stayed friends all this time. And she actually did some of her work at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, which is where I did some of my grad work. And it's just amazing to see, and I've really enjoyed the show. So let me go ahead and give everybody some info. So you're listening to the Animal Mystic Radio Show, which is going to be on every Monday from 8 to 9 on Spiritual Connections Radio. To find out more about Heather and the other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections, you can go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionswithanS.radio.com. And, of course, we want to give out Heather's website, which is www.mysticalheather.com. That's M-Y-S-T-I-C-A. I think it's got an L in there, right? And then an H. And a H-E-A-T-H-E-R for Heather.com. So make sure to check out her website and all her great services. And can they find you on Facebook also?
They can, absolutely. You know, I'm trying to, it's, you know, under Heather Tobin, and I will find the exact address and have it for you, all of you, next week. And again, I thank you so much for listening. But I will make sure I have that. And we'll have a page up for the animal.
Let's go ahead and give out the radio show number for anybody who wants to call in. So if you want to call in and ask your questions and stuff like that, you can call 646-716 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. And before I move to some of my questions that I have for you, Heather,
yes.
I want to ask you to tell us a little bit more about that animal shelter that you're supporting this week.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I got involved last year with the Manchester Animal Shelter because, for one thing, it's not just pit bulls. They are at a no-kill shelter. They will go to such great lengths to heal and you know, help animals of all walks of life. I've gone in there and seen a canary. It's great, you know. And I was just so taken by the incredible loyalty and dedication of the people working at the shelter and the way the animals respond, Mark. It's just incredible. And certainly with the pit bull program, they have many programs. They do so many things, service animal classes, and I mean, just amazing, runs the gamut of it. And I was so taken by it, I started doing newsletters for them and just going in and visiting the animals. And I was just so touched and amazed by the stories. And, you know, Mark, you see this all across the country and all across the world. I love when people come together for the sake of helping animals.
Do you have a website link? Because I'm assuming, like most shelters, they probably need support.
Yes, it is. It would be www.manchestershelter.org. Or, yeah, manchesteranimalshelter.org. So that's manchesteranimalshelter.org. And it's just a fantastic resource as well. A lot of the information that I got about pit bulls and misconceptions about them, I gleaned from their website. It's just very educational. And it's inspiring, you know, and it's cute to see all these, you know, adorable faces and, you know, the promise of being adopted. I just love it.
Well, I'm going to go actually screen call this for a second, so I'm going to let you talk about any topic you want, and I'm going to come back and ask you a question. I'll be right back.
All right. Fantastic. Well, another thing, you know, everyone – this is the other thing, too. Sometimes I was talking to one of my dear friends today. We had a reunion, and she's just terrific. And she, I'll be featuring her rescue next week, Sweet Paws Rescue. But one of the things that comes up is often with animals. And, you know, we go on Facebook and we see these horrible stories and we feel heartbroken and overwhelmed. And we listen to the news and it's totally depressing about animals in trouble. You know, and you think, oh my God, this is overwhelming. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? And you can feel powerless. And as I said to my friend today, there is no small thing in helping, that every little thing that you do to help an animal, just like helping people, is so huge. Just spreading awareness and, you know, just small things. It's huge. Even a fantastic story about a rescue or, you know, even when you post photos of your animals on Facebook or on, you know, social media or just talking and getting together with people and sharing, that helps to engender that love, that incredible love for animals, and it helps to increase awareness for incredible causes like, you know, like the Manchester Animal Shelter and all of these incredible organizations and sharing stories. And my friend, my beautiful friend Ashley, I think you're listening, Ashley, if you're out there, love you, girl. You know, you shared with me an incredible story about a pit bull who you met for a brief time, brought me to tears. It showed me how quickly a bond can be formed and how much love there is. And so I really, if in calling too, you want to share your stories, please do. Is that you, Mark? Are you back?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm actually, I forget that I'm not muted.
That's
so,
okay.
Let me go ahead and I have a few questions, and then we'll bring Lynn on from California.
Great.
Okay, so, all right, so all over the gambit here. So we'll start with some, first of all, what do you think about the idea that sometimes people incarnate as animals?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I do. Just given, I think there's a lot of choice. And I think that people do. I really do. I think that, as I said, you know, I don't believe that humans are the whole dominion. I think that there's so much to be learned on so many different levels that absolutely they do. I really do. I think that animals come back as other animals. I think, you know, what's your take on it, Mark? I'm curious.
Well, you know me. I'm always in my head, even though I'm spiritual. So for me, it's like I've read all the different books, you know, and I've done a whole bunch of the mediumship stuff and everything like that. And I've yet to come across anything in my studies that has said that individuals actually incarnate as animals. Now, of course, all we need is one example that that is not the case. So. That's my truth for today, and ask me again in an hour. Maybe I'll have a different answer for you.
No, I love it. It's, you know, I love all the different, you know, absolutely. And, it's a different, everybody, it's interesting to hear everybody's truths because it's fascinating, you know, it fascinates me.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other question, and a lot of the questions I'm going to ask you tonight are ones that I've heard, like, tons and tons of people ask other people, so I figure
sure,
I'll hit
bring
with
it,
and then we'll use it as a teaching opportunity for everybody. Do animals have souls?
Yes. yes. I mean, again, everybody's entitled to their opinions, but from personal experience and also from just the collective of experience that I've read about and studied over the years. Oh my goodness, such soul. You know, I often think that animals are all soul. It's incredible. And as I said earlier, you know, closer often, sort of like children, Mark, you know, closer maybe because of the innocence, the unconditional love, to this source of love than I've ever seen, you know, and that's why I think humans have so much to learn from animals to help us expand our consciousness and expand and really sort of soul seek and soul search. I think that animals, because of their purity of soul, just shine. It shines right through. I mean, that's my take on it. That's my sort of a knowing, a feeling. Again, anyone, and including you, anyone is absolutely, you can agree to disagree, no problem, I welcome it. On this program, it's no, you know, nothing black and white. It's just sort of a feeling, a sense of knowing, and I just, a soul recognition. I recognize the souls and animals that have come to me so clearly and just so viscerally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, in my own opinion, I think the interesting thing about animals is that they come from, you know, pretty much the same location as God or the Creator or Mother, Father, Earth or whatever you believe in, and that is they come in with no resistance and no fear. So, you know, they have, you know, they come from that space of you know, the no duality.
Right. Beautifully, and it's so true. It is so true. And I've seen it, you know, just through every, oh my God, I mean, through every type of animal have seen that. And it's just remarkable. You know, even, you know, my goodness, I mean, for instance, my sister's daughter has a bearded dragon lizard. Have you ever seen one of those, Mark?
No, I don't think I've actually seen one of those before.
They look like little dinosaurs, you know? And you look, it's absolutely adorable. The personality and soul and spirit and innocence The way that he sits with Anna, my little niece, and recognizes her. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a soul recognition. And people say, what, a lizard? Yes, a lizard. You know, it is amazing, the bond and connection, and I agree with you that there's such a pure source of spirit in these creatures. And it's just, it's such a blessing, you know? Blessing, furry, feathered, or scaled. Yeah.
Well, I think the reason why animals are so helpful, like you see them being brought into nursing homes and using for rehabilitation and everything like that, is, you know, they are a certain type of energy that comes in that's unconditionally loving.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's a calming energy, and so that's exactly it. And I know, isn't it so true when they bring them in? I remember when my grandmother was in the hospital, and she was in a nursing home at the time. They brought in this beautiful dog, and she was really depressed about being in there. And she loved dogs so much. And I know so many of you out there, you know, dogs or service cats. It just brightened her day, and it's proven too. I mean, they've proven scientifically, animals, pets, animal companions, they lower blood pressure. They make our lives healthier. It's been proven as well. They've done studies that kids that grow up in houses and homes with animals learn more empathy. You know, all of these things, it's just, again, how much animals affect our lives. It's just tremendous.
Let's go ahead and bring Lynn in from California and ask her a question.
Oh, Lynn, please. Hello and welcome to the Animal Mystic. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. First of all, I want to tell you your information is so overwhelming and so wonderful that I was just on the Blog Talk Radio and for some reason I was drawn to your show.
Oh.
And I am so glad I called, because the reason for it is when you're talking about pit bulls, I have three pit bulls, and they're the most wonderful, beautiful dogs in the world. They get a bad rap. My daughter, she just graduated from UC Davis.
Oh.
And she brought her dog over to their university as a emotional dog, because she was away from home and she was sad and depressed.
Yes.
So she went to her veterinarian, the dog's veterinarian, and gave her like a license, like a service dog. So it's an emotional dog.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
She brought her pit bull, it's a little miniature pit bull, to school, to, you know, wherever she was going. And they're so lovable. I have one that his head is really big. We call him Bubbles. Now, you can't.
That's adorable.
With a dog named Bubbles, is not going to be me.
so precious.
I have a question.
Oh, please, of course, Lynn.
7 years ago, one of my pit bulls, he contacted Parvo.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And he was like probably about 4 months or so. And I brought him to the doctor or the veterinarian, and the veterinarian said, yes, it's possible for Parvo. He has to be admitted because he'll die. And he needs all these fluids and IVs and everything.
Right.
And they quoted me like almost $10,000. And,
oh,
you know,
gosh.
Unfortunately, some of us don't have that money to really spend.
No. Oh, no, I know. It's very hard.
Yeah, so I'm a nurse, so I asked the veterinarian, can I have the injection, the fluid injection, and I can give it to him. And he said, okay, yes. So I just paid for the medication.
Mm-hmm.
I brought him home that night, but he got really bad. I was feeling that he was not doing good. His kidneys were failing. He had a temperature and blah, 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 and everything.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, you know, he's not going to make it. So I called the pit bull. I emailed the pit bull advocate, Pit Bull Rescue Center.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Because of them, they helped my pit bull. they they referred me to a hospital, a veterinarian hospital, so I could admit him, and all I had to do was pay for the medications, which I already had because of the veterinarian before gave it to me.
Right,
so I gave
right.
it to them, and out of pocket was only like $100 or $200 versus that $7,000 to $10,000. Well, now
incredible.
That pit bull, yeah, he's beautiful. He's 7 years old.
There's
something.
What is
the yeah, he
oh,
made it. But
he
my
made
question
it.
Is, yes. Because I took care of him when he was little, and I was like, I didn't sleep all night. I took his temperature. I was, you know, everything.
Oh.
I mean, this is a pit bull, and I'm a nurse for a long time, and I took care of that pit bull like I take care of my precious patients. That's how
you can tell
love.
You have loving spirit with you. It's amazing.
Do you think he knows that I did? Because sometimes he looks at me with loving eyes, and when I don't feel good, he knows that I don't feel good. He'll
yes.
snuggle with me. He'll, and then I can tell when he needs something, like if he has to go to the restroom, if he did. I can even tell if he has a tummy ache and things like
goodness.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, Lynn, you have such a connection with him and he with you. And it's what we were speaking of before. It's that soul recognition and
mm-hmm.
it's a mutual caring. And it really becomes telepathic. I mean, they're incredible stories like yours where animals, they pick up, they know. And
yes.
He's there to comfort you. And absolutely, I mean, the bond that was formed with you two is, let me tell you, it is something that is divine and can never, ever go away, no matter what.
Yeah.
it,
oh,
it is.
Thank it's, you.
You're kidding me, Lynn? Oh, thank you. What a gorgeous story. And bless your heart for bringing those beautiful pit bulls into your life. Into your life.
They're
There's
beautiful. They're so kind to people. And so, I mean, my son brings our other pit bull to his work on the weekends when there's really nobody there. And he just sits there and he just follows my son everywhere in the, you know, the office.
Amazing.
And he doesn't bark. He doesn't do anything. If he sees another dog, you tell him to sit and stay, and he'll sit and stay. He'll drool, you know, because he wants to go play, but he'll sit and stay.
Hey, you know, let me tell you, I think what's so precious about you calling in is that look how you've helped to dispel by your beautiful story and example, dispel all those ridiculous myths about pit bulls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and look at the love, and oh my goodness, look at the love and caring and how you loved your beautiful one into being and healing. So now he's a healing force for you as well. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It really is. That's incredible. I can't thank you enough for calling in. Oh, my goodness.
You. And you're so right about the blood pressure. I have high blood pressure. I just have to be right next to him and pet him. And it goes down, and I'm fine. Thank you.
See, that's it. They know. I have my mom has a cat. It's amazing. My mom has a cat that when her blood sugar drops, she wakes her up. So
see,
it's amazing, and just bless you for calling. Thank you
so much.
Thank you. I send you and your beloved family of people and pit bulls much love and so much thanks for calling in. You're an angel.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Take
Bye.
Care. Bye-bye, my dear.
Bye.
What nice people. I love this show. This is great. You're what makes it happen. You know? And Mark, are you there, my dear? I know we're winding down to the last 5 minutes. Any other questions you want to ask me before we wrap up? Still waiting. He may be off someplace, which is fine. Well, one of the great things is that we're going to have some great guests upcoming. So we'll be here to answer all different questions. communication with animals, as well as veterinarian questions. I know I'm going to have so many different guests. Oh, and Mark, is that you? You back?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out. It's like I just kind of dropped off there for a second. I wasn't quite sure what happened.
It's okay. You went into the nether realms, but you're back. You're welcome back.
So, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, I guess another question if I had for you is that if you have an animal that's passed away and you get, let's just say, because, you know, when I was growing up, I used to have a little beagle named Snoopy. And he was such a good dog because when I was little, he used to eat my vegetables for me, and I absolutely loved that.
Oh, that's adorable. No way. That's awesome.
So, you know, the question I think that always comes into play is, like, if I go out and, you know, it's not anything that I would have. You know, if I was to go out and get another beagle pup right now, what do you think the chances would be that the soul of Snoopy would actually come through in the new puppy?
Oh, boy. You know, I think that our animals return to us. I will say this. This is interesting. Sometimes they choose to sort of, it's just like souls, you know, all different, you know, sort of stay in a different realm. But a lot of times I really find that they do return to us. I know that often it's happened with cats of mine. Now, some have not returned. Some, they're just sort of in the spiritual realm. I can feel them in spirit. But some have actually come back as, like, you know, they may look a little different, but boy, it's them. I can see, and I often believe, you know, even if it's sort of a part of their soul, I think absolutely there would be a recognition there with Snoopy coming back to you. Are you thinking about getting a beagle?
Well, you know, I have been thinking about it, but my travel schedule has been such that I would just absolutely not want to get one right now because of the fact that, you know, like, I don't want to get a dog and then have to put it into, you know, into care, like, all the time because I'm flying all over the place. And
of course.
I would love to actually just travel with them everywhere.
That
would be really cool.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. I know. Seriously. And you know how we talked right before the show, like, everything in its own time, that I think, you know, there's definitely a beagle in your future.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yes, I do. And I also think that, without question, there will be a recognition in that little one's eyes where there'll be a flash where you will see Snoopy. It's interesting, too, about souls. I often think, too, that souls, sort of parts of souls, and, you know, like, I see little traits that the animals I have now, I mean, my cat Lily, for instance, she's Lily, but I'll see little bits of Fletcher in her, and I'm like, uh-huh, there you are. It's interesting, yeah, where she's still very much her, and it's a female, she looks utterly different than he did, but it's there. There's that recognition. You will have that. You will have that recognition with Snoopy, and you know, you have so much love to give Mark that, you know, in the right time, and, you know, when your schedule allows, that little spirit's going to come back in your life.
So let's shift gears a little bit since we have a couple minutes left. And let's talk about power animals. And for people who were it's funny, we just realized the other day with a couple of the shows that if we actually talk while we're holding for the show, that some people who dial in can actually, it's funny. But if you were actually privy to that conversation before we started the show, I was sharing with Heather that I was in an energy session. I was actually laying on the table and working with this great woman, Kathy from Florida, who was working on me. And she is very, very gifted, and it's very interesting because right in the middle of the session, a new power animal came into the room for me, which is a tiger. And for people who know the transformation that I'm going through lately with, you know, really kind of owning my male energy and and bringing that in. This animal, this power animal, is a perfect fit. And it's interesting. And I think someone asked a question that I'm going to ask you, and that is,
please,
you know,
do.
Does everybody have power animals? And if they do have a power animal, like a main one, is it unusual for that animal to change during the person's lifetime?
You know, it, for one, I don't, with the shamanistic practice where we work with so many power animals, we find that we have quite a few. Woo! And through our lives, there are different ones that will come and emerge through different times in our lives, different, like you said, if you're going through a transition, a time of growth, that I think that more appear. If anything, I think it can be really limitless. And I do think, given whatever you're going through, and in our, again, different animals come through. I believe we all do. And that animals resonate with us. Some will resonate with us more or less throughout our lives. They will emerge and make themselves more present. It's not that the other ones go away, but that some other ones, like for you now, tiger, I mean, it's such a, you know, beautiful, strong, it's actually beautiful too, because tigers, you've got the yin and yang with that. You've got a real balance of male and female energy. You can embrace the masculine. But, you know, cats are, it's an amazing power animal. It makes sense that it would come through for you now. So the answer is yes. I believe we all do have them. And it is not unusual for them to change as we change and evolve through our lifetime.
Let me go ahead and just shut everything down for everybody. So everybody, you've been listening to Heather Tobin, and she's going to be on every Monday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. If you missed any part of this radio show, it's available in the archives. You can find out more about the shows, the website links, and everything else, how to get to the archives and everything by going to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You're listening to Heather Tobin, and this show is the Animal Mystic Radio Show. And you can join us every week as Heather comes on and talks about animals and pets and spirit animals and totems and nature and shamanism and everything. And to find out more about Heather and the great services that she has, check out her website. So with that, we are pretty much wrapping up. And with that, if you got about a minute or so left, if you want to do a closing blessing or if you want to just send out a final word to everybody.
Absolutely. I want to thank everyone and everyone's beautiful animals for joining us this week for the debut of the Animal Mystic, and a blessing to all of you and to all of your animals and to those that may be sick or in transition and to those that are well and to those that are coming into this, into your family. So many blessings, and we shall see you next week on the Animal Mystic. Sweet dreams.
Sounds good. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good night, Heather.
Good night. Thank you so much, Mark.